All right, I'd like to welcome you to our Adult Bible Fellowship here at Kitwe Church, and we are launching a new series. It will be a 10-part series on growing through discipleship, or we call it disciples in training. And we've got handouts for you. Eventually, as we move through this, we're going to print all of this into a booklet like we did last time, and we'll get that into your hands. But in the meantime, we will put individual copies. You should have received three pieces of paper. You should have received two lessons, and then you should have received the Disciples in Training instructions. And we will go through that together. All right, let's have a word of prayer, and we will get into our study for today. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have to meet together. We pray, Lord, that you would guide our understanding of this subject of becoming disciples, becoming obedient followers of Jesus, and also our responsibility as your children to impart to others that which you are giving to us. And so I just pray that we would be encouraged through these next number of weeks together as we look at very important truths, one subject at a time. I know that we together will be challenged. We together will have questions that will be discussed and answered. But Lord, help us not just to view this time as only our own personal growth, although it will be that, but that we would also look at it from the standpoint of growing in grace and understanding for the express purpose of passing on to others those things that you are teaching to us. So bless us as we kick off this series today, and bless us throughout the weeks ahead, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, take your Bible, please, and turn with me. I want to look at a couple of scriptures to kind of set the stage for what we are going to be doing. There will be a lot of interaction and discussion as we move through this series together, growing through discipleship. And as I mentioned in my prayer, our purpose in this Adult Bible Fellowship series is twofold. One, that we will grow in our understanding of God and understanding of His Word and the key components of the Christian faith. So we want to grow. I think as we get into things, we're going to look at details. There's going to be questions, clarifications that will happen. I think it's going to benefit each one of us. Perhaps you have, since you were saved, you have never had an opportunity to sit with someone and study God's Word in a personal, intimate way. You've never been discipled. Well, let's do that together over these next weeks. Let's learn together. Let's grow together. And then secondly is that our prayer is that the things that we learn, and we're going to see this in Scripture, that the things that we are going to learn and discuss at greater length, that we will then be equipped, though we may be a little bit nervous, and we may feel like, I'm not sure if I'm ready for this, I'm not sure if I know enough, but that we will intentionally then engage someone that God brings across our path that we can begin to meet with weekly, and the things that we're learning, maybe even the following week, we've got someone lined up that we are sitting with one-on-one and being able to share the things that we are learning. We're able to share those things with others. So that's the purpose of this session. Matthew chapter 28. Let's begin in Matthew chapter 28. And we can begin reading in verse 16. If somebody has that, do you mind reading? Verse 16 through verse 20. Anyone do that for me? Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 16. Through 20.
And Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worried, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Mm-hmm. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, and even unto the end of the world.
Okay, thank you. So notice that this is after Christ had risen from the dead, and Jesus is presenting himself. He's already presented himself alive to the disciples on numerous occasions, but this is the event in which, after this interaction, Jesus is going to ascend. They're going to stand there on the mountain and watch him as he ascends, bodily ascends back into heaven. And so these are the final comments that Jesus makes to his disciples as part of his physical, bodily, earthly ministry. And we call it the Great Commission. He commissions his followers, verse 19, after assuring them that he has the authority for what he's about to say. And He tells them that because of his authority and because he has the right to commission them in this way, you go. That's what he says. Therefore, go. Go, therefore. And literally, the verse that Tibby just read literally says, make disciples. Now, what is a disciple? Sean, what is a disciple? Not in a Christian sense even, but just in a general sense. How would you define a disciple? Okay, simply put, it's a follower. Okay, you may have people who are a disciple of a politician, a follower of a particular historical figure. Disciples of football. I mean, right, people who follow almost religiously, follow after someone, a teacher, a guide, someone they look up to. So a disciple is a follower. Someone has also said that a disciple, you could also use the word learner. So you're looking at someone, they might not even know it, and you are learning from them, you're watching them. It's more than just words being spoken. In other words, just because you're a primary school teacher, for instance, and you teach 30 students, it doesn't mean that all of those students are necessarily your disciples. Now, there is instruction in discipleship, but what I'm trying to get us to see as we launch into this, that the instruction that we are receiving as we become disciples of Jesus is in the context of life-on-life relationships. So we come together on Sundays here at Kitwe Church, and one of the elders stands and preaches the word. That's commanded in Scripture. Right? It says, don't forsake assembling together as the corporate body to hear the word of God preached. It's through the foolishness of preaching that God does work in our lives, teaches us, challenges our, confronts our will, encourages us. So there's a place for the preaching and teaching ministry. But what he's talking about now is something a bit different. He's saying, go and make disciples. Yes, you're going to become a follower of who? A follower of Jesus. In fact, Paul would tell those that he's writing to in the Corinthians and in some of the other epistles, follow me, watch me, learn from me, follow me as I follow Christ. Right? He's inviting them into a relationship of discipleship. So discipleship is not just the imparting of information, which is what I'm doing right now. I'm basically teaching, you're receiving, you're listening. So the learner aspect is part of discipleship. So it has to be the communication of truth. But communication of truth in a discipleship relationship is more than me giving you knowledge or you giving me knowledge. Right? You telling me how to do something or what's expected of me. That by itself is not what we're talking about. Now, that's important, The communication of knowledge is important. It's vital. But you can impart knowledge without making a disciple. So here's the key. Discipleship is the impartation of knowledge in the context of a life-on-life relationship. Now think about Jesus. What did he do? Early in his ministry, early in the book of Matthew, about 3-some years before, he had gone out and he had handpicked how many? Disciples. How many did he pick? Remember? 12. Right? He picked 12 men. And the Bible says he chose them out of the multitude of followers, out of the multitude of people who were following and listening to him. He went and he picked 12 disciples to be with him. And I think there lies the power of discipleship. Discipleship takes place in the context of a life touching a life. So as you get close to someone, they see not only you at your best, they see you also at your not so best. Right, Chris? See them at their best and not so best, right? That's a discipleship relationship, right? There's a relationship that takes place, and learning is taking place in the context of opening your life to someone else so that your lives touch one another. Does that make sense? So though we're going to be looking through our series at truths of Scripture that every believer needs to know and understand, so that they can become strong, I'm emphasizing in this first session that the way that this is imparted is in the context of life touching life. Someone has said that discipleship is the rubbing of one life off on someone else. How do you do that? You do that by your lives touching. You're connecting in various ways. It requires sometimes a sacrifice. It requires time. It requires an intentionality, right? You come alongside someone for the purpose of encouraging them and teaching them and allowing them into your life. By the way, discipleship, what we're talking about, is a two-way street, not a one-way street. In other words, it's not just, I'm the teacher, you're the student. We enter into this relationship, and in fact, we're learning from one another. Yes, the more spiritually mature person who has learned some things is responsible to offload, and we're going to see that now, offload that information, teach someone what they know. Now, let me ask you this question. How much do you need to know to be able to disciple someone else? If you're a true child of God, how much do you need to know?
I don't think you can quantify that.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm going to just interrupt you here. I must be perfectly honest with you. I came here to grow myself.
Yes.
Since you said that, but also specifically, there's somebody I have in mind.
Perfect.
That I would like to bring to the church.
Mm-hmm.
Should I take that out of my mind? No.
No. Okay. I think that's all part of it.
I was thinking maybe I should just keep my mind open and think, oh, okay, that's the person.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like, Jesus knew who he wanted.
Yes.
And I've got somebody particularly in mind that I feel her life is such... not good.
Mm-hmm.
Like her to bring her to the church.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to force her here.
Right, right.
Yeah, and
right.
I'm trying to find here now.
So,
if I can. So,
mm-hmm.
I at this point feel I don't have enough to do that.
Okay.
And I will try to drop a hint here and drop a hint there.
Mm-hmm.
That's as far as I could manage at this point.
Okay, all right.
I don't think I can go... I couldn't go straight to that passage.
Right.
And
say, here's...
We have today. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So.
Okay, good. Kind of coming off that, let me ask you guys this question. What is the difference between evangelizing someone and discipling someone? What is the key component that separates those two things. Although they do go together. All right, and I'll mention that in a moment.
Quantity of amount of knowledge.
Okay, all right.
I would not say that one loves the Lord more than the other. No. I would say to evangelize, you would have to know where to go in Scripture to quote.
Okay, so either way, you're going to have to be prepared for that activity, right? You're going to have to be prepared to evangelize and prepared to make disciple. Okay, so evangelism and discipleship, let's talk about that relationship, and then I want to take you to another Scripture. As we carry out this mission of God to go and make disciples amongst all the nations, and then if we go back to that text, let me get back over there. It says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. That term, to make disciples of all nations, the beginning of that process is to share the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. We would call that evangelism. To evangelize someone, to give them the evangel. The evangel means the good news. To share the good news that there's hope, there's forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ. And here is what Christ has done for you. And at no arm twisting, but a simple invitation. Would you like to also believe in Him? Would you like to also receive Him as your Savior? Okay, that's the making of disciples. Okay, now, when someone is still in this process of considering the claims of Christ, but they have not yet put their saving faith in Him. They're thinking about it. They're engaging about it. They cannot be discipled yet, because a disciple is someone who has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. So when we talk specifically about discipleship, although we're going to talk about the evangelism component, we're going to talk about the gospel. In fact, that's the very first lesson we're going to look at, probably next week. Not probably, next week, is the issue of what is saving faith? What does the Bible say about how someone comes to Jesus Christ? But the platform or the basis for someone to, remember we said growing through discipleship? Okay, so a baby grows, I would say from the moment of conception, right? I mean, the baby is growing, and then the baby is birthed. And I think you can look at someone spiritually and say, the truth comes, the seed of the truth is planted in someone. This is the evangelistic process and the work of God and the miracle of God as He works to show them the truth and brings them to the point of new birth. Spiritual birth. So just like I had a physical birthday, I also had a spiritual birthday. Now, I don't know what date that was. I have no idea what the day was. But I remember very clearly there was a day of my spiritual birth. Right? And so someone has had to have had a physical birth and a spiritual birth if they are to begin to grow in Christ. So call this the timeline, right? This is the point of salvation. Before that, my effort is to expose them to the truth of God's word and to love them and to spend time with them and trust that God is going to bring them to the truth and to the point of saving faith, right? So I've known Tivi. I'll use since Tivi gave the answer. I've known Tivi for 20, almost 25. Almost 25 years. And our family loves this lady. I mean, she's just been very special to us all those years. Just had a relationship, very special relationship. Taught all my kids how to swim, and I think that's how it all started. At some point, we became burdened. We prayed for Tivi for years. Years. That God would bring her to understanding and to faith. And what happened? At some point, when I heard your testimony and your baptism, and at some point, I don't know what the date, but maybe she does, but it doesn't matter, she came to saving faith in Jesus. So at that point, everything up to that point was sharing the gospel, praying, trusting God, because this is God that has to do this, and then a person comes to believe, to be convinced. They put their faith in Christ. Now from that moment forward, That's discipleship. Now I'm growing in Christ. Or let's use the foundation of a building. The foundation is Christ and salvation. Discipleship is the building of the life, the structure. Does that make sense? Are we together? So we want to understand that these two go together. But you can't build a house on dirt. In fact, Jesus told a parable and says, if you try to build a house upon the sand, it will look fine for a while, but when the storm comes, remember that parable? He says, it's going to be what? When the storm comes, if the house isn't built on the foundation, we've seen these hurricanes in the West in recent times. Which houses managed to stand the hurricane? They were firmly built upon a solid foundation. Right? So the foundation is Jesus Christ and faith in Christ. Discipleship is the building of the life upon that foundation. So although they go together, one definitely comes first, right? You can't disciple someone and teach them to obey God when they don't have the foundation, which is saving faith. Does that make sense, Tibby? Okay, so now, again, I can't see the heart of someone. So I can't with authority look at you and say, you're saved, you're not saved, you're a Christian, you're not. I can't do that. Now, I can see your fruits, right? And I can say, well, the fruit that I see causes me to believe that my prayer and my effort needs to be evangelism. This person needs the gospel. They need to put in the foundation. But I can't see that, right? So I'm evangelizing, and that may be where your friend is right now. It's the effort. It's still going to them with the Word of God. But the prayer is, God, convince them that you are real. Convince them, not just intellectually, but their will, that they will surrender to you and receive and believe in Jesus. Right? Put in the foundation of faith. So evangelism and then discipleship. Discipleship is, what do we do now that we have believed in Jesus? What do we need to understand so that we can grow in our faith? So this is the process of discipleship. Any questions before we go to the next text? Yes, Chris.
So I've heard like a few stories of people who everyone thought they were saved.
Sure.
And they themselves thought they were saved.
Mm-hmm.
And then it came to a point where they weren't.
Yes.
But how do you yourself 100% know whether you are?
Okay.
I mean, you're trusting God and
how can you have absolute assurance in your own heart that you are saved,
that you're telling the truth not only to yourself?
Correct. Good. Did we hear her question?
Yeah.
Okay, talk about assurance of salvation. That question is the question that every new Christian has, which is why it's the first lesson in our discipleship study with someone. Okay? So, I'm going to give you a fast answer because that is for next Sunday. Okay? We're actually going to look at what is salvation, what about doubts for salvation, how can I evaluate to be sure that I'm truly in the faith. That's the first lesson in our discipleship. And you can see why it's so important. You know, Chris has helped us right out of the gate to see why that's number one. Because you can't help someone grow if they're mistaken. Or if they're just a churched person who grew up from the time they were little in church, and so they just assume that they're a Christian because, of course, I go to church. Of course, my family's a Christian, right? There's a lot of people like that who would say, well, I identify as a Christian. But cultural, I'm going to call that cultural Christianity. Do you know what I mean by cultural Christianity? It's like your lifestyle is, quote, Christian. It's not pagan. It's not Muslim. It's not what it's Christian. And yet, there's no inner life. There's no, it's all external. It's all dry theory. Yes, it's all, yes. It's, Yeah, and you're not even trying to be a hypocrite about it. It's just there's nothing living, there's nothing real on the inside. Okay, so let me give you the quick question. I mean, the quick answer, because I need to move on in the time we have. So we'll get into this, but how can I know that I'm saved? Number one, the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5 that God has written His Word so that we can know that we have been born again, that we have believed in Jesus. So the first thing that He tells us is, you can know. Gives us that assurance. The book of John gives us 6 or 7 tests, I'm going to say tests, that we can look at and evaluate our life and biblically evaluate, does my life reflect that I have genuine faith in Jesus Christ? All right, so yes, we can know that we are saved, and Scripture gives us some scriptural tests that we can look at. Let me just give you one of them. All right. Huh? First John. Yeah, thank you. Let me give you one of them. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Does that mean we're perfect? No. Does that mean we still have failures and still struggle with old things? Yes, we will still struggle. But I no longer love the things I used to love. And I can look at my life objectively and say, you know what? I do not love. Now, sometimes I still do them, but I despise it, whereas I used to love it. Right? You take a guy, you know, a young guy, and he's out every Friday night's party night and disco night and whatever, and he gets saved, and suddenly he just doesn't have the same drive and desire for that anymore. What happened? Did he turn over a new leaf? No. Something happened inside. When you see that in yourself, you can say, okay, there's one evidence that, you know what? God did something in me. God changed me. All right. We'll get into that in detail next week.
Okay. I think verse 17 answers her question.
Okay. Can you read that?
When they saw him, they worshipped him. I mean,
okay. There's another one.
Jesus, you're worshipping him. But some doubt. There's still that element of doubt, self-doubt.
Mm-hmm.
So even if they had the most wonderful opportunity there, they still wondered, how are we going to do this?
Yes, yes. And we're going to talk next week in this lesson, we're going to talk about doubt and where does doubt come from in the life of a true Christian. Okay, so let me rush on and I'll come back to that. All right. Okay, so one more scripture I want us to look at. Please turn with me over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 1. But I want us to really focus on verse 2. So 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1 says, "You then, my child." Now, in chapter 1 and verse 5 and 6, verse 4 and 5, Paul has said that, "Timothy, I have seen your genuine faith. I have been able to look at your life, Timothy, and I can see that you have genuine faith. I can see the change that God's made in your life." So he says, "So you, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now, this is verse 2. Notice the mission of God. This is God's purpose for every one of us. "And what you have heard from me." So I'm not going to take time, but in 2 Timothy, he talks about the things that you have heard. He's continually talks about the things that were entrusted to you. He's talking about the biblical teaching, the apostolic doctrine. And he says, "Timothy, I want you to take the things that have been entrusted to you, the truths that have been given to you from me. I told you these things. I taught you these things." Timothy, I'm not saying you know the whole Bible, but I am saying the things that I have taught you, the things that I have handed to you. Notice what he says, 2 Timothy 2. "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses." Look, this wasn't some secret society where you swear secrecy and you make an oath and whatever. We have secret societies right here in Kitwe. Alright? Christianity is never a secret society. It is in the presence of all. I have taught you the truth. It's in the presence of everyone. It's open. It's available to look at and to listen to and to assess. It says the things that I have entrusted to you, the things that you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses. Notice what Timothy is supposed to do. Deposit these things, entrust these things to faithful men. And what are these faithful men or women in the generic sense here? To entrust to faithful men and women. And what are those? So the things that I've received from my discipler, from the ones that have invested in me, I'm supposed to take those things and entrust them and deposit them into who?
Faithful.
Faithful Christians. So that those faithful Christians can do what? What does it say?
You shall be able to teach others also.
Teach others also. See, do you see how this works? Paul gave the truth to Timothy. Timothy hands the truth to faithful men. So that the faithful men will be able to teach others also. Listen, teaching the Word of God and making disciples is not the job of the pastor. Oh, and it is my job in the sense that I'm also a child of God. I'm also a disciple. But the task of entrusting truth to faithful people so that those faithful people can entrust that truth to other faithful people is the job of every child of God. So it doesn't matter if you're a 16-year-old lady. If you're a child of God and someone has invested something into you, God intends for you, as you have opportunity to deposit what you've learned. Yeah, but people tell me all the time, but I don't know so much. God's not asking to teach somebody something you don't know. All He's asked is whatever He's given you, pass it on.
That's where lies the doubt. Because am I going to express this in the correct way?
Okay.
Am I just going to then confuse the person if my terminology isn't in sync with what they are ready to receive?
So whose ultimate task is this?
Me to straighten myself.
No. Whose ultimate task? Uh-huh. It's the job of the Holy Spirit to use weak, humble, frail, flesh and blood like you and me to pass on what we have learned to other faithful men and women. We, in that sense, are God's mouthpiece. So should we do our best to pass it on? Yes. Should we try to know as much as we can? Certainly. All of that's fine and well. But here's where we have a hang up, and I think you put your finger right on the sore spot. We tend to hesitate because we think it's about us, and we think that, well, I don't feel confident. Yes, I know this truth, and I know it's been given to me, but I don't feel confident in sharing with someone. What if I mess up?
Okay, case in point. Friday morning, I had breakfast with somebody, and it was wonderful. She was just saying how About 4 years ago, her life was such a mess, and she really turned her back on God. Would you believe by speaking to Graham? And things had turned around for her. And I saw this as an opportunity, but I didn't know whether to quote the first principle of experiencing God, or the fourth, or the one we're doing now.
And how many?
So belief. Because I felt she was in a crisis of belief and she turned her back on God. And so I used both. I must have.
There you go.
Both.
There you go. Exactly.
But I didn't know which one to use at first.
And I think any of us that have ever had such an opportunity understands exactly that feeling. And that
I do.
And yet I have to then default and say, you know what? God is superintending. He's over all of this and He's going to use me. I don't even know how. But let me speak what I know. And what I don't know, I mean, some of you guys have asked me questions before and I've told you, I don't know, but I'll find out. I don't know all the answers. I don't know all the answers. So when I don't know, I just say, you know what, I don't know, but I'll look into that and I'll come back to you.
Well, I'll pray for you.
And I'll also be much in prayer for you. So allowing God to fill us with His Spirit and to use us. But what I'm stressing to us right here is in the midst of all of that, we have a mandate to entrust the things that we have learned to other faithful people who will then be able to teach others also. All right, any other thoughts or questions before I move on? I've got about 10 minutes remaining and I want to review this first sheet that we have. Okay, if I have time at the end, I'll give you another chance. So take out the sheet, which is the introduction. Instructions for the disciple. On the back side is instructions for the discipler. Okay, so the student and the teacher, right? Some instructions. So when you meet with someone, the first lesson, by the way, I've done the first lesson for you. This is what I'm doing. I gave you two verses, Matthew 28, 16 to 20, and 2 Timothy 2, 2. What did I do? I just explained it to you. Wasn't theological. I didn't use any Greek words. I just explained. We just discussed the text. And you gave me feedback. This is exactly what you do when you meet with someone. Okay? Then we go to this and we say, now before you make a commitment to meet with me for the next 9 weeks, because there's 9 lessons, let's go through. Let me show you what we will do. And then you will have an opportunity to decide whether or not you want to do this together. So what are the instructions for growing through discipleship? All right. What is discipleship? I've already touched on this. It's not just learning a lesson or memorizing a verse or going to church. It's one person pouring his or her life into another person until the disciple is made as strong as the teacher. It's life sharing a life. All right, and that's how I started, didn't I? I started explaining that. Now, what is the purpose of disciples in training? 2 Timothy 2:2, I've already read this verse for you. To reproduce Christians that are actively reproducing their mature lives in others. That's what the purpose of this is. What is the requirements for disciples in training? Two people, a willing discipler or a mentor, and a willing, faithful, responsible disciple. By the way, I like doing discipleship like with two people at a time. It doesn't have to be just one. Now, it shouldn't be a big group either. You do want a smaller group. But I like even doing it with one or two people. It's very, very helpful. Okay, what are the tools for discipleship? Let me explain these. Number one is the Bible. Number two is the lesson, and I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. Number three is challenging them to attend church. Number four is prayer. So four tools that help us become disciples. Number one, so I'm going to challenge the disciple that they're to read God's Word every day. Now, if they're a new believer, I'm going to suggest maybe read the book of James. I love the book of James. Very practical. Read just one paragraph in the book of James. 5 verses, 10 verses. Read the whole chapter if you want. But every day, read God's Word. Another helpful book for a new Christian is the book of John. It's a very helpful book because you're introduced to who Jesus is and his ministries and his teachings. But regardless, read the scriptures daily. Then we're challenging them to write a brief summary of what they've read. This is like a sentence. We're not asking for a book report. We're not asking the disciple to... That will develop in time. And I forgot to bring my notebook where I do this. This is what I do every day. I have my devotions. I have a notebook open. And I have no idea what I'm going to write in there. But as I write, I'll underline in my Bible. And there may be a thought or two. Or sometimes it's just like kaboom. And just stuff is coming, and I write a whole page of stuff. All right. The point is not how much did you write. The point is to encourage this disciple to be in the scripture and to be thoughtful. That's why you say a brief summary. So if they're reading a paragraph, what was that paragraph about? In fact, you see the third bullet there? Write a personal application example. How does this passage affect my life? Or what message or lesson do these verses have for me? What do I learn from it? So they're asking themselves just a simple question, writing just a sentence, doesn't have to be a long thing, But they're doing it every day, right? They're doing that every day. So we're encouraging our disciples to be in God's Word, reading and writing what they have, an application or a summary of what they've learned. Number two, the second part of the discipleship is the lesson. Now, everyone got this lesson, and you should have had two copies of it. Why? Because one is for us to study. All right, so what I want you to do this week is I want you to find time to study this lesson. It's just a page and a half, 14 fonts. All right, the one that you're going to be a little bit ahead is this. You already kind of know what's going on. I want you to study the lesson this week. All right, so start on Monday. Read through. Look up the verses. All right, then I want you to fill out the questions, the blanks on the back. Okay, this is not a test. The questions simply provide us discussion points when we meet. Okay, so I want you to read it. You can see I did that. I've done that, and I've written down my own little notes. I've circled things, highlighted things that seemed important to me. Okay, invite them to write down questions so they don't forget them, because when they go through the lesson, they're going to have questions. All right, make sure you write those down. We'll discuss them when we meet next week. Okay. By the way, I'm not saying this. I'm telling you, do this week. Because next week, this is our lesson. We're going to do discipleship next week. That lesson number one. And I want you guys to come back with this, having read it and filled it out. Okay? Do the best you can with the time that you have. All right? So that's the lesson. At the top of every lesson is a verse. This one is 1 John 5:12. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I want everyone here to memorize that verse this week. And I'm going to quiz you next week. All right? I'm going to ask somebody to say it from memory. It's not hard. You say, well, how do I memorize it? Maybe you want to get a little card, a little piece of paper, and write that verse out, carry it around, just read it. If you'll read that verse 10 times every day between now and next Sunday, you'll know it. You don't even have to memorize it. It's just in your head.
You see, that's where you might memorize a verse, but now pressure on me to remember where I'll find it.
But you know what happens to me? I might not remember where I found it, but I can quote the verse. That's and I'll just quote it to them.
Okay.
And I'll just do what I can do.
The one at the end there, he can tell you which one.
Yeah. Some people are gifted on every front, and Sean's one of those. All right. So you're going to do the lesson, okay? So this is what I'm instructing. So everybody needs to do this lesson for next week, okay? That's the third part. That's the second part. Third part, I want to encourage you to church attendance. Well, you're already here today, but be faithful to church. Be faithful to small group. These are ways that we're going to grow together. And number four, and I'll make sure we have these as a handout tomorrow. We just give every disciple this piece of paper. It's called asking and receiving. It's called asking and receiving. Now, what I do is I use a book. So for their Bible study, and encourage them to get a little book like this. So that when they're writing their application, they put the date, they write the scripture that they were, the little one sentence, they've got it in a book. This is my prayer journal. Now, this one is a new one. This one started, my first entry was August the 8th, because my last one is full. So I don't use it like this. This is what I do. All right, I just have a simple book, cheap little book, and every day I put the date. And then number one, number two, how many ever requests, I write the request out. I pray for it as I write it. For me, that helps me concentrate, helps me stay connected with what I'm doing. All right. On most of these days, you're going to see a list of people that I'm praying will come to know Christ, other things that come along, burdens, and on it goes. Somewhere in here, I have a list of all the members of Kitwe Church, and next to many of your names, I have little requests that I can remember. Okay, so what we're trying to do with this is encourage believers to every day write down their prayer requests, all right? And encourage the date that you start praying about it, which would be today. Just a little short explanation that reminds you of what you're praying for. And then When God answers, you go back and write the answer. How did God answer that? And the date that He answered it. So if I'm praying for someone to be saved, I've been praying all this time for this person, and when they get saved, I'm writing down this was the day. Alright? Because here's what's going to happen. How many of you had an answer to prayer this week that you can think of? Exactly. Alright? That's the point. And yet, God hears and answers prayer all the time. But you know the problem is? We just pray about things and we forget about them. We God's working all the time. What this does is it forces the disciple to be able to see what God is doing. Okay? So we're praying specifically for things and seeing what God is doing. Alright, turn over. We're almost finished. This is the instructions for the discipler. So this is for us. 9 things. Let me just read through them. Number 1, pray for your disciple every day. Meet with your disciple at least once a week, not at church. So not church time, but at some other point. When you meet, check that the lesson is completed. Teach the lesson. Okay, that can be very simple. Just, you've highlighted the main points. You discuss them through. You look up some of those scriptures together. You just explain it, making sure they understand. Then during that, they're going to ask questions. You're going to help answer them. You're going to write down the questions you don't know the answer for and tell them you'll get back to them. All right? Answer the disciples' questions. Like I said, they're going to ask questions. Number 5. Number 6, check the summaries. Check the personal applications. And check the questions. So, you're going to discuss. There's all of your discussion questions. All right, you're going to work through that. Then you're going to say, "Hey, so show me your devotion book, and pick one of the days that God really taught you something, and read me just one. Just give me one." And they're going to pick a day and say, "Oh, on this day, this is what God showed me from His Word." Why am I doing that? It's just to provide accountability. Right? Because if you know that I'm going to ask you what God talked to you about from the Word that week, that day that you didn't feel like reading the Bible, you're going to go, "Oh man, I just have to because He's going to ask me." That's healthy accountability. It's healthy. Right? Review the sermon notes. So invite them to, and I didn't mention this on the front side, but invite them to take notes as the pastor's preaching. Ask them, say, "Hey, so last week's sermon, what in your notes, what is one big thing that stuck out for you? How did God speak to you last week?" Okay, just, these are very simple things. Listen to their verses. Okay, quote your memory verse. Don't look, quote your memory verse. And they quote you the memory verse. All right, then at the end, you share blessings and testimonies, and you pray together. Okay, none of those things are complicated or deeply involving. It's just a kind of a template to help you walk through with someone and develop this relationship around the Word. All right, any questions about this? You see the big idea of what we're doing and why? Okay. Great. Well, it is time. Time is up. So, I've given you lesson number 1. Keep the blank one. Write on 1. That's yours. So, next Sunday, come back with just the 1 page. And we will give you 2 copies of lesson number 2 for the following week. All right, we'll be 1 week ahead every time. But next week, we're going to go through this discussion together. We're going to talk about it. We're going to look up scriptures. We're going to answer whatever questions you have. All right, we're going to actually do what you would do with someone.
Okay. And you don't expect us to go off and find somebody to do it with at this time?
Not yet.
Not yet.
I will next week. So next week, my challenge, or our challenge is going to be, because Jamie's going to teach it, is we have just finished this lesson now, together. Now, do you have someone that you can engage, and you're 1 or 2 weeks behind? Someone right here at Kitchway Church who's a new believer, that needs to meet with someone and just learn God's Word. Right? now you begin a week or so behind. You're learning and now you're going and doing it. You're learning, going and doing it. And when you come back, you say, hey, I ran into this. I'm discipling this guy or I'm discipling this lady. And this was the question. What do I do with that? And we'll talk about it. Okay? Emmanuel? We good?
Yes, sir.
Tawanda? We good? Okay. All right, so make sure you're ready with this for next week. Bring it back. And also invite others to join us as we kick off our growing through discipleship. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this new series that we will engage in over the next 9 weeks as we look at 9 different important subjects together. I pray, Lord, that this would be a time of rich spiritual encouragement and growth, and that we would be challenged and equipped to be able to take what we've learned and share it with someone else, we pray. Bless us now as we're dismissed to the main service. In Jesus' name, amen.